This is Marketplace from APM. I'm Adrienne Hill. We're going to start the day like we do pretty much every Friday with the weekly wrap, a look back at the big stories of the week. I'm joined by Sudeep Reddy from The Wall Street Journal and Neela Richardson of Redfin. They're both in our studio in D.C. Hi.
Hi, Adrienne.
So let's start with the disastrous week for Volkswagen. Neela, just how bad is it for the company?
It's bad for the company. It's worse for the movement in terms of climate change and clean energy and having fuel-efficient cars. It's funny how the three major stories of this week kind of conflated around the climate and the environment, both the Chinese president's visit, the Pope's visit, and Volkswagen. And Volkswagen was the only negative story outlook. And it was negative because it was disappointing to so many of the believers of diesel and that, you know, they were buying into something that really didn't exist when it came to Volkswagen. And it kind of sheds doubt on other car companies who are trying to make those same efforts.
And we're going to talk a little bit more about climate later in the show. But Sudeep, I wonder what you think VW's trouble mean for Germany's economy. I saw one economist call it a bigger downside risk for the German economy than the Greek debt crisis. Is that possible?
It certainly could be. This is a company that is so embedded in not only the German economy, but the German culture. When so many people think of the German auto industry and the German manufacturing industry and what it stands for, they often think of Volkswagen. They think of everything that it's been through over its very long history. And that has been spread around the world, particularly throughout Europe and the United States. And now it's just upended so many assumptions people have. Everyone's, of course, wondering, can you even trust the company anymore? But can you trust all of the emission standards that we have? Can you trust all of this technology? And that's a lot for a single company and a single country to bear.
I want to move on to interest rates. Janet Yellen gave a speech yesterday reiterating that interest rates are likely to go up this year. And I wonder, Sudeep, why'd she feel the need to reassure the markets about her intentions?
There's so much confusion out there in the market about what's the Fed going to do. You can see the daily movements in the stock market and the bond market just based off of this. And the decision a week earlier about what the Fed did in its statement really pointed to a weak global economy and cast some doubt on whether the Fed would ever raise interest rates. And so Janet Yellen looked like she was trying to get ahead of that, saying, okay, well, yeah, well, you're still planning on raising interest rates this year if some of these other factors cooperate. She didn't completely make the sale to the public, but she got further in that direction to say, whoa, don't get too excited that we're going to have zero rates forever because the first rate hike is coming. But there's probably still going to be some confusion out there.
And Neela, what difference do a few months make? Why not do it now if you look like you're going to do it in December?
Well, in normal times, the Fed raises rates when the economy overheats. And there's just nothing showing any kind of overheating going on, especially when it comes to wages. That's been the real sticker. The problem for the Fed is there's never going to be a good time to raise rates. In Washington, we're not only talking about a potential government shutdown in October, but also the debt ceiling debate coming up again. And so is that a good time to raise rates? And what's going to happen in December? The Fed has to make a stand, and they may have to make it at an inopportune time. And that's the hard part.
Now, we've got just about a minute left, so we're going to have to be fast here. But I wanted to get your take on the cyber agreement announced today between the U.S. and China. Neela, you go first.
Well, I find it great that the Chinese president went to Seattle first before Washington, D.C., because he knows where the power is in the United States is with the tech industry. Look, you know, the U.S., the president of China said it himself, the U.S. has the biggest technology when it comes to the Internet, and the Chinese have the biggest audience. So there should be this natural pairing, but there is instead a lot of distrust. And so hopefully this agreement will be a little bit of a step forward.
And Sudeep, what do you think? Is this actually going to change anything?
It's probably not going to change a whole lot. This is one of the most important and unusual bilateral relationships in the world between the U.S. and China. It's two enormous economies and militaries, and they seem to talk past each other at just about every turn. Now they've got a handshake to not pursue cyber attacks for economic purposes, but that leaves a whole lot on the table, and there's a lot of wiggle room in the agreement that they just had for both sides to come out of it and say that they're holding to their agreement. But you're gonna find that we're probably gonna be disappointed in the end.
Sudeep Reddy from the Wall Street Journal and Neela Richardson of Redfin, thank you both.
Thanks,
Adrienne. Thank you. Have a great weekend.